It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers, and hello, pledge people.
Yep.
Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which has been updated
today
with information on a road trip that you must take to IU Cinema next Friday.
Yep.
Next Friday is not Hawaiian Shirt Day. It is Halloween.
Start thinking about any wacky, tacky ties you might want to wear.
Exactly. And jeans, yeah. Of course. Anyway, we have a podcast which you can check out at.
The podcast is on iTunes, but the blog is at filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice who just corrected me.
Yep.
And we will tell you, it is a trailer to the film that IU Cinema is showing on Halloween night, the 1972 blaxploitation horror masterpiece, Blackula.
Horror masterpiece.
Yeah, that's right. I said it. And
okay.
I'll say it again if I have to. Blaxploitation horror masterpiece. It's a short competition there. Anyway, small comp, really. I mean, well,
not a 64-team tournament.
No, not really. You got JD's Revenge, Blackenstein, Abby, Dr. Black, and Mr. Hyde, and that's really about it.
And
Sugar Hill. Not the Wesley Snipes. There was a zombie movie from the 70s called Sugar Hill.
Okay.
You're not going to watch it, are you?
Probably not. No.
Anyway, that voice.
I don't get the whole zombie thing.
That's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
Also winner of this year's Silver Stakes game.
Silver Stake matchup number 5. Silver Stake Roman numeral V.
V, that's right. Welcome to the fantasy football portion of the film show. And by the way, our guest is Jolene Katzenberger, and we're going to drag her into this nonsense in just a moment. Kobe and I have a bet every year when it comes to fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
And if my team wins, which they did not, I make Kobe.
And they have not for 3 years now.
Why don't you shut your hole? If my team would win someday, Kobe has to watch a film of my choosing, and it's usually of a scary, supernatural, or freaky nature, but not too much because he's my bro.
Bro.
So, but I did not win. So this year, and of course, the winner gets a steak, a raw steak that is to be cooked. When Kobe wins,
note the silver steak, silver trophy.
There you
the
go,
steak, the actual thing.
Exactly, it's our oaken bucket.
Yes,
and of course, if
there's
Kobe
a Paul
wins,
Bunyan trophy, there's Paul Bunyan's axe.
Forget all that
bucket. There's
we got a steak.
Whatever. We have a raw steak.
We do have a raw steak, and then of course, you also get a Pam Grier film of my choosing.
Yes,
because it's my show.
And last year it was A Big Dollhouse.
Yes, and as if you didn't get enough Filipino shot women in prison movies. You now have Black Mama, White Mama from 1973, if I remember correctly. Jolene's not getting up and leaving. That's good. but it is a female. No, this is girl power. This is a female version of the Defiant Ones. If you remember Tony Curtis and Sidney Poitier did the original. There was also, I remember, a made-for-TV remake with Robert Urich and Carl Weathers. Not making this up. Look it up. But you get the female version because you don't have enough Filipino shot women in prison movies. We had teenagers on the show last week. This was real fun. So anyway, Black Mama, White Mama. I'm sure your lovely wife will enjoy not watching that.
I don't get it.
She didn't get the whole Pam Grier thing.
No, I don't get the whole zombie thing. She didn't get the whole Pam Grier thing.
That's right. So Jolene Katzenberger, who is a food writer and blogger and now radio show host, which we'll get to in a little bit, do you have any tips on what Kobe should do with his winnings this year?
Tell her what kind of steak it is,
man. What kind of steak?
What did I get you?
I believe it's a top sirloin.
Yeah, a top sirloin, boneless top sirloin.
A boneless top sirloin?
Yes.
I don't know. How do you prefer to cook it?
Typically, what do we marinate it in? I forget what I typically marinate it.
Do you marinate or do you a rub or a pork?
Sometimes both. Sometimes one or the other. A lot of times, though, just salt, pepper, and then rub on some brown sugar.
And no food cost.
No food cost. Salt, pepper, food cost. Right. Yes.
Well, I think that's fine. You've got the makings of a great steak.
There you go.
Okay. So and I like the brown sugar because of the caramelization.
Yep.
Now, on top of this, when I went and purchased this
Don't kill it with steak sauce.
Oh, gosh, no. No. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Unless you killed it on the grill.
Yeah, and then you have to, yeah. Then, you know what? Steak sauce and gristle, that's fine. Now, on top of that, because
I was going to bring this up too. This will be the first year that I cook my victory steak on a fully functioning, evenly heating grill. Because the last 2 years in the apartment had one of those little camping grills with a little baby propane tank.
But now you're a grown person.
Yes, and because we had grill regulations in the apartments, now have a house, don't have grill regulations. Got a grill, got a big grill, an evenly heating grill that works wonderfully, and I am, oh man, I
You're
just
stoked.
Forgot about that. Yeah, I am stoked. I am excited to cook this steak.
As is sous chef Frank. But the other part was when I bought this from a certain regional grocery chain, you also, because I am a generous person, you also got a coupon for a free dozen eggs.
Dozen eggs.
So if you want to go the steak and eggs route, that's protein power right there.
It could be breakfast.
See? And breakfast anytime.
Yeah,
you see, Kobe, the options are endless when it comes to the silver stakes winning. And of course, you can get advice like this and others from Jolene because she has a show coming up on HD2.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your new program here at WFYI.
So it's Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio, and we'll be talking to all sorts of local people in the local food scene about all aspects, cooking, shopping, farmers markets, the food artisans, the producers who are making all the cool things around town. So we'll be talking to all sorts of people. So I'll be going out into kitchens, farms, all sorts of places,
mm-hmm.
and talking to chefs and food aficionados and that sort of thing.
And the show premieres
November 1st on Saturday at 11 in the morning,
11 a.m.
noon.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's, you know what,
very
you can
good.
You can listen to that and then prep up for your dinner as you listen to the cool down Saturdays at 7 on
HD2.
And if you're still mulling over last night's film sociology, you can listen to the rebroadcast on Sunday afternoon.
Your weekends with us on the radio.
That's what we do. You know what it is? Your pledge dollars at work. Big shout out and thanks to everybody
Absolutely.
Who supported WFYI and film sociology and Cool Down and all the local shows. And, of course, big shout out to the little ghosts and goblins that are running around our beloved building as we speak, if you're listening to the original broadcast, because they are running around. All right. We're not done in shameless plugging.
we still got another 2 minutes for it.
Oh, that's good. Oh, really? Just two? Thanks. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. at Clues Memorial Hall, I'm going to be hosting an event called Scoring Music for Film. And this is myself as well as Luke Flynn and Mikkel Shane Prather, who are graduate composers at Butler University's Jordan College of Arts School of Music, and we'll be talking about film scoring in cinema. And this is also in related to the event happening Friday, November 7th at Clues Memorial Hall. For the record, Tarantino in concert.
Awesome.
No, Quentin is not performing. It is a live band, live orchestra doing music from the films of Quentin Tarantino with scenes from the movies incorporated. It has already been in the ad campaign, mature audiences only. Emma can still go. So anyway, that is happening Friday, November 7th at 8:00. Tickets are still available. And then there is a pre-show discussion at 7:15 about the music from the films of Quentin Tarantino, and yours truly will be hosting that at the Krannert's Room at 7:15. So go check that out. That is going to be a lot of fun. So, with that in mind, I want to start with some of the new films that are opening today. I know this is also the final weekend of Heartland Film Festival.
Yep. Heartland wraps up tomorrow.
Go check that out. And one of the films that made it to Heartland and is opening today is St. Vincent, the new film with Bill Murray, and apparently an understated performance from Melissa McCarthy. Apparently she's not falling down in this one. So that is all opening, as well as the film based on the incredible true story called 23 Blast. We also have the documentary, or not the documentary, the comedy written and directed by Justin Simien called Dear White People. You can hear an interview with Justin on Fresh Air's archives. And we have the revenge drama action film called John Wick with Keanu Reeves and Willem Dafoe. The also opening today, got to see this on Wednesday, it is the new comedy, black comedy, oddball picture called Birdman, starring Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah.
Any interest, Mr. Slagle?
I don't know. I need to see a trailer again. I don't think so, but maybe. I want to see Book of Life first.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
I really want to see Book of Life.
That can be arranged, I'm sure. But this is one that's, you can hear reviews, you can check out Ed Johnson-Ott's review of it in Nuvo. Of course, it's in the Film Yap as well. But this stars a really good cast. Michael Keaton, Edward Norton, Naomi Watts, Emma Stone, Zach Galifianakis. Guess what? Non-prissy, fussy role performance from Zach Galifianakis. Breaking barriers here,
oh,
folks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So similar to the Melissa McCarthy
thing
of
not,
away.
Yeah, yes. Breaking away a little bit, expanding your horizon. You're right over there?
Yeah,
what do you do?
I was looking for totally off topic here, but again, that's not stopped us before.
No, it hasn't really.
Our guy, film sociology regular contributor, Robert Irvine.
Yes.
Had a tweet earlier this week saying it's pronounced taco. And I was thinking about steak and maybe making steak tacos. And then I thought of, oh, yeah, he was talking about tacos.
You want me to go on Twitter and correct him on that? It's not going to go over well. That's right, film sociology regular contributor Robert Irvine.
Yeah.
By the way, they did an episode this week on the 10 filthiest restaurants.
And Snooty Fox was on there, wasn't it?
Number 10 or number 9, I think. So yeah, made the cut. So
and it's not there anymore.
No, it's not there. But you can see Emma and I if you press pause. That's the power of DVR. Anyway, back to Birdman. Michael Keaton plays an actor. Now, go with me on this. You can see where this is going. He plays a movie star who was once a part of a big action franchise in the 90s. It's now modern day, and times are financially and career-wise tough. And he has decided to adapt, direct, and star in a play in an off-Broadway production of a Raymond Carver story. Celebrities invading Broadway. And, of course, there is some of the backstage shenanigans and chicanery.
Chicanery?
There is chicanery.
There is chicanery.
Things involving the young actress played by Naomi Watts. It's her first time on stage. He has to replace an actor, so he knowingly hires a difficult actor to work with, played by Edward Norton, who has a reputation of being a difficult actor in his own right, and his daughter, Keaton's daughter, played by Emma Stone, who was involved with an action hero franchise. Get where this is going a little bit. And everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
Michael Keaton starred in this movie and Emma Stone was in
that
movie. And Edward Norton, he played the Hulk, but nobody wants to remember that. So there's all of those elements. And, of course, it's, you know, will the show get off the ground? Will everything be okay? Will Keaton's life get back on track? So story-wise, fairly familiar territory, but it also helps that it is directed by Alejandro, and I'm going to butcher this, I'm sorry, Iñárritu, who gave us films like 21 Grams and Babel and Beautiful with Javier Bardem. The film is shot as if it looks like it's one continuous take, but it's not shot in real time. It's like the old trick of Alfred Hitchcock had a film called Rope that made it look like it was shot in real time, and it looked like it was in one continuous take. And it was really little camera tricks, like a camera would go past somebody who has their back to the camera. Or in a case like in Birdman, you see somebody go down a dark a set of stairs or turn a corner, and that's when you know, okay, that's where the take is done, and they move on. But it goes over a span of a few days as Keaton is trying to get this production and his life in order before things go really haywire. There's a familiar story. The gimmicky camera work was not distracting for me. I didn't mind that at all. And the stunt casting, well, it's the stunt casting. It's fine. I've been a fan of Michael Keaton's work for 30 years. I remember Night Shift and Mr. Mom back in junior high. You do as well,
sure,
Jillian.
Sure.
Yeah. And he's had ebbs and flows in his career. And from everything I've read and heard about the guy's just got a good, solid rep. Wanting him to do well, and really he hasn't. I mean, he's done a lot of supporting stuff over the years. I always remember there was a film he was in called The Other Guys, which was the cop comedy with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell, and of course in a Will Ferrell film you have a slew of comedians that do 20 or 30 takes of nonsense and then they take the best one out of that. When all the actors involved asked who was the funniest on set, they all said Michael Keaton. So really hoping Keaton. I like Keaton in the film. It's the biggest role he's gotten to sink his teeth into in a while.
Yeah, we haven't seen much from him.
No, and I mean, it, like I said, it's been supporting stuff. I know there's been a number of films that have kind of gone straight to video, straight to demand, on demand. So this film really works if you've not seen any Does Art Imitate Life stories. As I was watching this, I thought this would be a fun double feature with Black Swan. The Natalie Portman goes insane ballet movie, where that's also is it real or is it Memorex? Is this in the person's head or is this actually happening? So the performances are good. I like the look of the picture, and that kind of overcomes I think some of the kind of tired backstage stories. And there is I have to bring this up because I know David Edelstein brought it up when he reviewed this on Fresh Air. There is a scene with a theater critic where it's the bar next door to the theater in New York, and the critic basically says to Keaton's character, "I'm going to destroy your production."
Oh no! And wouldn't really say that.
No critic in their
that.
Right mind.
No, no.
Even the most how should I word this? Even the most d-bag of critics
right.
would never ever really say it. I know it's a movie. I get it, but. And part of it was the motivation behind it is because of movie stars invading New York. Yeah,
right,
that's
right.
That may be an axe to grind with, but you could be a little more subtle with that, is what I'm saying. And this is a film in which, of course, Michael Keaton also has to deal with his alter ego, the character of Birdman, which comes in poster form, and you hear the voices in his head sounding like the hero, the action movie hero from 20 years ago. The critic saying the things that she says to Michael Keaton is less realistic than Michael Keaton's character sprouting wings and flying around New York City.
Oh, no, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I would say if you haven't seen a whole lot of the fantasy what is art and what is Memorex stories, you'll probably get a lot more out of this than me. It's good. I don't think it's great, and I know this is kind of being pushed as a one of the big films for the end of the year season. I talked to somebody over at Keystone Art, and apparently they're going to devote 3 screens to this film.
Really?
I'm intrigued to see how many are left by the end of the weekend, because when it got to the end, I saw this on Wednesday night with a full audience, and when the final moment happened, it was stone silence.
Really?
Yes, and usually, a lot of times, if a film is good, people will applaud in a movie theater, which I think is kind of silly because
the
actors can't hear you.
They can't hear you, but it's sort of a spontaneous feeling.
I guess, but I think that's kind of the same way of like every other production getting a standing ovation. You're kind of devaluing the act itself. I think it would take a lot for me to applaud in a movie. I don't.
You know, I don't go in planning to applaud in a movie, but I think like at an end, I'm trying to. There was a movie
give me an example of something that you have.
I know I saw something recently, and people really did applaud at the end. I can't think of what it was. I should be able to think of it because I don't see that many movies.
Which is why you're the perfect guest for the film show. No, we love having you here. Come on.
I really don't see very many movies. Although, and maybe the last one I saw was the. The 100-foot journey?
The 100-foot journey, which we'll get to in a little
bit.
Right.
So maybe they applauded at the end of that. I don't know.
I could see that because that's – well, and also the fact that I think you also have I remember seeing that as well, you had a mature audience on that one.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You were not well, and say what you will about art, and I know people make fun of art houses, and my buddy Abdul has talked about, yes, there's a clown smoking a cigarette playing chess with death, but you know what doesn't happen at the art houses a whole lot? Nobody drags a 6-month-old to the art houses.
That's a good point.
Nobody's dragging their kids who can't afford a babysitter to the art houses. Nobody is, for the most part, nobody is really texting.
Except
and
me.
On the
maybe,
phone.
Maybe.
You are not texting during a movie. Don't even joke about that. You know, you're not watching Romeo. You're not watching a Bergman film in an art house and picking up the phone. Yeah. Yeah, he's playing chess with death. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's heavy symbolism.
Might be posting on Twitter, you know.
No, don't do that. Don't encourage people of that. Anyway, so Birdman, good, not great. Now you brought up the 100-foot journey,
right?
Which because this was there was not one but two cooking films that came out in the summer of 2014. The other one, of course, was Jon Favreau's Chef. I guess I want to get your thoughts on 100-Foot Journey, because I know that'll be coming out on DVD and Blu-ray fairly soon.
Oh, no, see, that would be a nice Christmas present for me.
Wow.
To say it.
She looked at me when I said that. John, take note, all right? I got Mrs. Sosie to deal with.
But that would be a good present for anybody who might like that kind of movie, because it was a good food movie. You know, it was it was uplifting at the end, you know. You were rooting for the person. You know?
I believe this was a truly moving pictures film as well. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, it's two restaurants across the street from each other in a small town in France, and one is run by very stern Dame Helen Mirren, French Helen Mirren, and then a restaurant that is bought by folks from India that have moved to France, and their idea is to shake up the business. And while the French restaurant is very traditional and conservative, here's an Indian restaurant with exotic spices and
a very talented young chef
who wants to learn how to cook French food as well.
Eventually, he wants to learn how to cook French food.
Correct. And of course, you have the father of the family, or the chef's father on this side, and you have Helen Mirren on the other side. And guess what, folks? They don't like each other.
Not at first.
Well, when I stress it like that in all caps, right. You kind of know. It's like when somebody coughs in the first reel, you know they're dying by the end of the film.
Right.
So, yeah, if you
That's
don't right. like each other at the beginning, you know what's going to happen there. What I enjoyed about the film, besides the film, and there is the obligatory cooking scenes that make it look simple and sexy and gorgeous,
right.
And my daughter's rolling her eyes because she claims food is not sexy. But there is, I think, a fairy tale feel to the book, and that's a compliment, because there are several shots, and Lasse Hallström directed this. This is the guy that gave us Chocolat and What's Eating Gilbert Grape, The Shipping News, My Life as a Dog. But you have these shots of the French mountain countryside, and there's these two little restaurants and this little picturesque at the top of a hill, and then down is the big kind of French village. And they look like pictures out of a storybook. And this story is kind of like that, especially with the young chef who is going to kind of work his way up and learn. Their life lessons will be had in this film.
Of course. I see your storybook kind of thing going there, because in the very beginning when there is sadness, you know, and fire and why does the mother always have to die? Mothers always have to die in movies for something to happen.
I will give you that, but on the same, I'll also flip that and say, why does the superhero always have dad issues?
Well, they do. They have dad issues.
Will Wonder Woman have mom issues?
Well, I don't know, but nothing.
I don't know.
You know, this is my thing.
So, happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Exactly, that's my thing.
You can only be inspirational, Jolene, if you pass away.
I guess. And what I tell my kids is that the mothers always die, because if the mom doesn't die, nothing's going to happen, because the mom's going to take care of everything and make sure everybody's okay. So if the mom is gone, then then something happens, and oh my gosh, then they have to deal with their problems and have conflict and everything. And if the mom was there, everything would be okay, and you wouldn't have a movie, right?
Right, exactly. Or you wouldn't have the courtship of Eddie's father or something like.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, single widow husband or that's a single widow guy with child.
Right,
so
it's right.
Every almost many sitcoms in the 60s. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, but also the fact that the film is aware that it's trying to look like a fairy tale. I think that's and some people will roll their eyes at this. I didn't mind it. It's sentimental. It's pretty. It works.
It is sentimental and pretty, and you know, nothing really bad happens.
No, I think fighting over saffron and marsala, that's a big enough conflict for me. Right. I'm okay with that. Now, on the flip side, have you seen Chef?
I have not. And that's a terrible thing.
No. It's all right. It's out. It is out.
Telling me, I know.
It is out on DVD and Blu-ray, and of course, Jon Favreau taking a break from making gigantic movies, but it was. It felt like he did Iron Man 1 and 2 so he could make a film like this. And Favreau stars in it as well. He plays a chef who has a meltdown online and then in his restaurant, which you really shouldn't do. And when he's backed into a corner financially in his career, he decides to open up a food truck. And what was fun was Favreau pulled a lot of favors from people he has worked with in one way, shape, or form. People like Robert Downey Jr., John Leguizamo, Sofia Vergara, Scarlett Johansson. I still want to make a film where Sofia and Scarlett run a food truck together, but that's just me. I am man, hear me, oink. And Dustin Hoffman's in this as well, and Oliver Platt. And it shows, one, the who's in charge when it comes to a restaurant. Is it the owner or is it the chef? There's some fun couple of fight moments with Favreau and Hoffman. You know, it's your kitchen, but it's my restaurant. And you know, do you cook? Hoffman's character compares it to the Rolling Stones. Do you play the greatest hits, or do you play, you know, second side of Exile on Main Street,
right,
and that only?
Right.
So those things are brought up. The way social media is brought up for good or for bad, as far as food and food criticism, or you know, voyeurism when there's a confrontation between Favreau's character and Oliver Platt's character. And then there's the whole he's also with his son now, wife's not dead, just divorced.
Okay. Well,
but you know, they buy a truck and they're going to bring it back west, and also really fun food footage. There's a very intense scene involving the creation of a grilled cheese sandwich, and in the closing credits you see Favreau with his culinary consultant on how to make this. So this was, for me, this was better than the gag reel, which usually have the blooper
right.
reel in the closing
right.
credits. So anyway, it's a fun story. Also the fact that it also does not pull any punches that, well, chefs can have a bit of a mouth on them. I guess this film is rated R, and I am not. I'm going to get into All the President's Men a little bit as far as language and film ratings. You know, my daughter's soul has not been corrupted because she has heard certain words, and there are certain films that have no business being rated R. If I really wanted to be a pain, I could say I don't think Chef should have been, but there's enough hostility in the film. I guess that's why you can. Make it there. So anyway, you can add that
That's right. I'll add that to my Christmas list. How's that?
There you go. See, we're doing things here.
That's right.
And John, you're welcome. So I guess, Jolie, I'm curious. How often do you get to have movie night at the house?
You know, the kids like movies better than I do. I'm
you're
not
the perfect guest for the show. I love
aren't
this.
Aren't I? Is this terrible?
No.
I hate to say this because I know we're talking about movies, but I typically don't, I don't really sit down to watch a movie very much. I don't know if it's a commitment to watch a movie, you know?
90 minutes or two
right,
hours.
Right, so it's a two-hour commitment, and, you know, I don't know if that says anything about me personally, you know, but I don't like to commit to sitting down and being sucked into a movie. So, you know, if someone's watching something like John had on School of Rock the other day,
uh-huh.
and you walk in and you start to sit down and watch it a little bit of it, and then it's like, no, I'm going to get up and go in the other room and do something else, because otherwise I'm going to get sucked into an hour and a half, you know, of watching Jack Black.
That's nothing wrong with it, especially that film. That's really good. Now, my wife, Lynn, happy anniversary, dear, this week. I will have something on, and she'll be at her laptop, and she's writing notes or creating something on the syllabus, and she'll have it as background noise. Now, of course, my sitcom husband moment is I will come home from rehearsal or a screening or something, and I'll come down to the living room, to the family room, or as I like to call it, the screening room, and there'll be a film that she has on, and it's on commercial television. And I'm like, honey, we have this downstairs. And she goes, I know. But I can get it, and it'll be no commercials, and it's not edited for content. Or, no, it's fine. But you really...
So she's not going to get the true experience, and she's okay with that, right?
Apparently so.
I guess.
And then I go away. So anyway, that's all right. So now if a movie's going out now, if the whole family's together, are you running back and forth to the kitchen to create stuff, or are there are there special Ketzenberger movie treats that we should know about?
I don't think so. You ask about popcorn. I'm not very creative when it comes to movies because I don't think about movies and special occasions and stuff like that. So so for me, I guess it would be popcorn, I suppose. You know, just a bowl. It would be a bowl of popcorn.
Okay. I mean, no, it's fine.
That's okay.
What is wrong with you? Is that I can't do the Gordon Ramsay thing of just, or no, I'm not going to.
Oh, but we love Gordon Ramsay. And we watch those shows, you know, and so.
Really?
So
do you guys watch a lot of cooking television or kitchen TV?
We watch some of it. We like Gordon Ramsay. Although actually, I kind of like the F word shows better than Hell's Kitchen.
Yes, thank you for adjusting that. We appreciate.
What it's called.
Oh, I'm
it's
sure
called,
it is,
yeah,
but you know what?
Right?
He's never said F word in his life, and we all know that. So, of course, we've had a slew of culinary folks on Film Sociology, and you were, of course, a part of that pantheon. We'll put her picture up in the Film Sociology kitchen if we ever get a kitchen. I'll tell you one thing I've been able to make, and Emma's also digging this. Actually, now that you're here, Mr. Slago, I was going to inquire this about you. But I found, I think it was Michael Simon, Chef Michael Simon. He didn't give this to me personally. I read it on his page. But sriracha lime popcorn.
Okay. I'm guessing that's really good because I helped make sriracha lime brittle with the local chocolatier one time.
We were just
in the kitchen, in her test kitchen, creating things, just playing with flavors and stuff. It was like a day off for her, and I was there seeing what she does. So this was Julie Boljak of Chocolate for the Spirit.
Yes.
And we created, because she had all these ingredients, a delicious sriracha lime brittle. It was wonderful. So I'm guessing that those flavors would go well.
Well, that's what we did. So you mix it, you melt butter, and then you add in as much lime and or sriracha as you want. And you stir it.
That's a definite yes for me.
You're gonna make this?
Yeah.
Dude, you gotta make it, man. It's really good. Now, I don't know about giving it to Frank, but I like it. Emma likes it. Lynn, we're working on it. But, stir it with a wooden spoon to get it the coating, because that's the other thing, is that it's thick because of the sriracha.
Right.
So, that's definitely worth checking out. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kobe, before we get to my chat with Sammy Terry, I think we should get to Dead People We Like, because we have time for Dead People We Don't Like. The label, it should be labeled Ben Bradley.
Okay.
I'm sorry, we're having our production meeting during the show. Washington Post editor Ben Bradley passed away this week,
yes.
and it was a special. This was a name that inspired a bunch of people of our generation, mm-hmm. not yours, Kobe. Get off our damn lawn! but no, he was of course he ran the Washington Post, and he was immortalized in the film All the President's Men, played by Jason Robards, who won an Oscar, and it was well deserved. And this was a film and a book and an incident that launched a whole generation of journalism students that we were going to run in, and we were going to
change the world.
The world, and hopefully work at a place where there's Robert Redford or Dustin Hoffman.
If we could have done that, with
right, exactly. So we were going to do great things like them. So with that in mind, here's a scene. I had to edit it because it's All the President's Men, and I'll get to that in a little bit. And by the way, I love it really, Robards really captures Ben Bradley. And this is a guy that was not he was not a yelly, screamy, fire and passion managing editor. He knew what needed to be done, and he put you in your place if need be. So anyway, here's a couple scenes from All the President's Men.
Yeah, I've got it. Librarian and secretary say Hunt looked at a book. That's not good enough.
White House aide told me that Hunt was investigating Kennedy.
Who was it?
Who was it? You want the name, you mean?
No. How soon you hire?
I don't know titles. So a special interest in, we said that the White House was investigating Kennedy.
Show a special interest in.
Jesus, the story's stronger than that. We got a White House librarian who said that Hunt checked out a whole lot of books. We got a secretary in Colson's office that Hunt was sitting at the desk.
Ben, that's a page one story.
Stick it inside someplace. This is a damn important story. Get some harder information next time.
Ben, it's our hottest item. It's in over 500 papers.
What is it?
Yesterday's weather reports for people who were drunk and slept all day.
Jesus, send it out to the San Francisco Chronicle.
How about the crossword puzzle?
No, that's a feature.
No,
do you
space.
Like that?
No space.
Bye. You guys, the last thing they bought for me was the obituaries. Make them buy something, will you?
All right. Hey, what do you guys want?
The GAO report's due out the morning of Nixon's renomination.
Hey, sit down. Well, that's 2 weeks from now.
But since they're only responsible to Congress, there is no way the White House can control the investigation.
There's a source over at General Accounting that tells us that there's a whole rat's nest of illegals going on over at Creep.
Like what?
Like a slush fund.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars of unaccounted for cash.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Any comment from Creep?
Yes, unavailable for comment. They're not talking.
Well, what else beside the money? Where's the damn story?
The money's the key to whatever this is.
Says who?
Deep Throat.
Who?
Oh, that's Woodward's garage freak, his source in the executive.
Garage freak? Jesus, what kind of a crazy story is this? Who did you say?
He's on deep background. I call him Deep Throat.
Look, McGovern's dropped to nothing. Nixon's guaranteed the renomination. The Post is stuck with a story no one else wants. It'll sink the damn paper. Everyone says, get off it, Ben, and I come on very sage, and I say, well, you'll see. You wait till this bottoms out. But the truth is, I can't figure out what we've got. What else are you working on?
Well, we're after a list of Creep employees.
Where is it?
It's classified.
Well, how are you going to get it?
We haven't had any luck yet.
Get some.
Get some.
That's all.
Gosh, it's so good.
So did it make you want to go into journalism?
It did. It actually did. And I had, fortunately, I had a managing editor that also fit into the Ben Bradley school of kind of knew when to give you a pat on the back and also knew when to give you a kick in the pants.
Well, that's good.
In fact, he even quoted a line. There's a famous line at the end of All the President's Men where I had made a mistake on something. And Bob, you know who you are, said to me very calmly, like Robards does in the film, and if you F up again, I'm going to get mad. And that's all that needed
that's
to really be
took,
said.
Right?
There's Robards has a great look when Hoffman starts to speak up against him, just stares him down cold. So anyway, that's Ben Bradley, played by Jason Robards in All the President's Men. Ben Bradley, thank you so much. You inspired a bunch of us. Some are still fighting. Others are off to the corner being cynical. Yes, right. This is Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Soucy, hanging out with Jolene Katzenberger, whose new program is called
Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio.
Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio. I have to make sure it's not man, woman, or pray, love.
That's right.
Right. And it's Saturdays.
Saturdays starting November 1st at 11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock. So go check that out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the year. Kobe, you brought this up because we had not heard from our regular October guest. Mm-hmm. But we also have to remind ourselves that he can come anytime. He can, this person can come on the show anytime. He's not just for October anymore. It's like I say, It's a Wonderful Life is not a Christmas film. It is a life-affirming story that can be showed anytime. That's like saying The Wizard of Oz is not a Thanksgiving movie, even though the networks play it, and The Ten Commandments is not an Easter movie, even though that's when the networks play it. So anyway, Sammy Terry, this is his big month. He is going to be back on TTV4 with a double feature on Halloween night. And so anyway, we should have him on the off season. You know what? I'll have him on
the off season.
And we'll bring fudge because that's also a season.
What's going to happen?
We have an argument that Kobe, Mr. Slego here, thinks that fudge is a seasonal treat, and I think you can have it at any time.
You can have it at any time, but the best way to have fudge is when somebody makes fudge and you are able to take part in fudge. Obviously, you can make fudge any time of the year when you take matters into your own hands, but the best way to get fudge is to have somebody to make fudge for you, and the only time that people make fudge is around the holidays.
But that same rationale,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly.
Food writer.
I think Mrs. Soce should make sriracha lime popcorn all the time, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen.
Sriracha lime fudge.
Now, we got to work on that. Okay, so there's your project. All right. With that in mind, turned in the vapors and came through the doors. Here is our chat, because Kobe was there too, because Kobe, of course, gets marital advice from Sammy Terry. Here's our chat with Sammy Terry. Joining me on Film Sociology, joining Kobe and I, we on Film Sociology, one of our regular guests, one of our favorite guests. This thing needs no introduction.
Well, regular around this time of year because he doesn't, you know.
But it's fun to get him in the off season. So we have to remind ourselves.
We've had him in the off season a couple times.
He's not just for October anymore. So we will try to get some spring and summer appearances from him. But we will let him introduce himself.
Horrible seeing you again, my fiend Matthew. It is I, Sammy Terry. My morbid sense of decaying sarcasm has now drifted underneath your doorstop, made sure that it has crept into your soul, and will dwell here for weeks to come on Sociology of the Movie Kind.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Your pledge dollars at work right there. For your supporting WFYI, I get vapors coming into the studio and discuss. How are you, Sammy?
Oh, I'm doing horrible. I'm glad to see you're doing the same.
And, of course, we have newlywed over here, Kobe Slego, who still listens to your marital advice, and we appreciate that.
Well, Kobe, you're looking a little thinner than I saw you last. Your cheeks have sunk in. The green haze over your face is showing me that you're having marital bliss all the way to the toilet.
Now, the reason why we have Sammy here, besides this is his busy month, and now some TV stations may come and go, and we're not going to discuss that at this time, but some things are always here, like Sammy Terry on Halloween night on television on TTV4 with not one, but two films, a double feature, a doubleheader. Let's play two. That's going to be a lot of fun, Sammy Terry.
Oh, it will be. A double feature I'll be showing starting at 10 p.m. It'll be the annual Sammy Terry Halloween birthday celebration, for it is my birthday.
And if we cut your leg and count the rings, how many would there be?
Oh,
legs, not rings.
So many rings on these old decayed thighs, you would never be able to count through them all for the centuries that I've haunted Indiana.
There you go. We're not going to count those. So, and we're not going to talk about your thighs, Sammy Terry. So what is the double feature you're going to be inflicting upon Indiana folk?
This Halloween night at 10 p.m., I'll be showing the original 1979 release of the Amityville Horror, a very true story of a family that moves into a home. Oh, it's their new home, like you, Kobe, in their newlywed status. But they didn't realize that a few years prior, there had been 6 murders there, and the spirits that dwell were not too friendly to them. So the Amityville Horror 1979 from 10 o'clock p.m. on Halloween night until midnight, followed by the remake of the Amityville Horror from 2005. Oh, now that one stars Ryan Reynolds. We'll be able to see this re-release of the new one in order to see how they butchered the first one.
Yeah, Kobe. I believe Kobe Slego wants bad things to happen to Ryan Reynolds in that picture. Am I right?
Yeah, he's
on the list.
Yeah, he's on the list.
See, Sammy, Kobe has a list. You're not on it. That's a good. Well, it really doesn't matter. But But it's a good thing to not be on the list, and Ryan Reynolds is on the list.
So, Kobe, you'd rather see Ryan Reynolds with a Green Lantern smashed against his head. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's an accurate statement.
Only if Blake Lively's hanging out with us and watching. Now, the original Amityville Horror, I remember seeing this in the theater. James Brolin, not Josh, Margot Kidder before she started wandering around outdoor. Yeah. And everyone's favorite priest, Rod Steiger.
Rod Steiger, exactly.
There are no quiet masses with Father Rod Steiger, I assure you. Now, to be fair, in the remake, the priest is Philip Baker Hall. So not quite as loud as Rod Steiger, but he's the one, quote-unquote, seasoned actor that brings a little bit, seasoned veteran that brings a little bit of credibility to a remake.
Well, that's true. George is particularly very interested in showing these movies this Halloween night. Oh, because time flies by, and with all of the flying activity on the windows around the Amityville Horror House, George is hoping to be able to jump in and grab some of that action.
Are these houses, do you think, the Property Brothers could go and fix?
No, not at all.
You don't think so?
Not a chance.
Not flip or flop or sell it?
Nope. If I saw that, I'd be running the other direction.
No, they're not going to keep it or sell it?
No. Love it or list it.
Love it or list it. That's it. No. That's it. I should know that because I like the lady on that who I call English Mercedes Rule. but no HGTV shows. Genevieve's not going to be there, so I guess that's it.
With the number of home reality shows out today, it would be good if we sent a few of them over there just to thin the herd.
Now, Kobe, have you checked to make sure your new house isn't haunted and people haven't been killed in it? It is Fisher's, so... It's not?
It's not Fisher's. It's Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. All right. So you can see Fisher's from your house.
Yeah. Climb up on the roof.
Now,
and you can
Kobe,
see
exactly what is that address?
It's in Zionsville, actually.
Oh, you're... we see what you did there, Kobe. You're trying to steer people away from your house. Now, Sammy, we were talking about haunted houses, and there is another one that's kind of terrifying, Mr. Slagle. And the haunted house in his life is Tara from Gone with the Wind. Not Terror, but Tara from Gone with the Wind. Is that a particularly spooky house down south?
Absolutely, those old southern plantations. They have the essence of years of decay and horrible acts of unkindness. So you may have a few spirits hanging around yours, Kobe. And if you do, they'll find you in the darkest, deepest, most tranquilly sleeping time of the middle of the night.
So what's a more terrifying house? Tara from Gone with the Wind or Candyland from Django Unchained? You haven't inflicted that on Fair Sweet Bianca?
Django?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we own Django.
Do you? Oh, do you now?
Yeah.
Come on over and have yourself a nice, something cool to drink. Wow. It's all about haunted houses. So, Sammy, I know you also have some appearances coming around Central Indiana as well.
Exactly. In fact, tomorrow on Saturday, October 25th, I will be at the day-long festival in Irvington in Indianapolis on Washington Street. I'll be there from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., but the festival goes all day from 10 until 5. It's one of the best-known and best-attended Halloween festivals for the entire family. And now that Sammy Terry's fans span generations of Hoosiers, make sure you gather all of your little ones, your medium-sized ones, and in Indiana, we've got some extra-large ones. Bring them to Irvington on Washington Street for the Halloween Festival this Saturday, tomorrow, from 10 a.m. to 5. We'll be wrapping up from 4 to 5 with the Halloween Parade, led by me, your host and master of ceremonies, Sammy. Me Terry.
I know there's going to be music there from Gordon Bonham as well as Delta Duo, as we've talked about on the Blues House Party. There's probably some food trucks. Is there a food truck that you like in particular, Sammy?
Oh, there certainly is. There's a special little one that carries some of my favorites, eyeballs and lady fingers, and of course they have my type O cocktail on tap.
We gotta tap that one.
Later in the month, next Thursday, you'll be able to also come visit me in Olytic, Indiana. Oh, that's down by the haunted caves that dwell underneath, near Bedford, Indiana, just north of Bedford in the Olytic old retired school building, where lots of punished school children's spirits continue to dwell. So come see me Thursday, October 30th, in the Olytic Haunted House in Olytic, Indiana. More information is on my Facebook fan page, which everyone should go and like, the Sammy Terry fan page. And then Halloween night, you can either sit and DVR and record the Sammy Terry television show on Channel 4 at 10 p.m., or you may come see me live in Greenfield at the Rich Theater. Oh, the Performing Arts Center there. We will be putting on some stage shows. We'll be having post-trick-or-treating terrors. And you'll be learning all kinds of horrible Halloween trivia around our haunted state of Indiana. So come see me. Put on by the Greenfield and the Hancock County Historical Society, their celebration of Halloween for the community at the Ridge Theater in Greenfield, Indiana, starting at 9 p.m. Halloween night.
I still think the idea of us not being able to buy liquor on Sundays is the most horrifying thing in the state. That's truly terrifying.
Luckily, my typo cocktail flows all day and all night every day.
It's hard to get a permit for that, I suppose.
You gotta keep it underneath the counter.
Welcome to the Prohibition portion of Film Sociology with Sammy Terry. Good stuff there. So, Sammy, I was wondering, what memories do you have when you first started trick-or-treating as a wee one?
Well, when I first started trick-or-treating as a wee one, of course, that goes way, way, way back into the cultic and Celtic originations of all of our Halloween customs of today. Oh, we used to go door to door, but in those days, most doors were nothing more but a drape of an animal skin. So when we knocked on the door, we basically had to say boo to get people to come out. And most often, being that things were much more primitive than they are today, most people didn't have treats, so tricks were always in favor. Oh, we had always the flaming bag of dinosaur poop, or we would throw water on the recipient at the doorway. We would do all kinds of morbidly horrible type of tactics, unlike today, where we simply give out Snickers or M&Ms or other tooth-decaying dentists' fantasies at our doors. But in my day, things were much more dark and much more sinister.
Right now, the listeners are inserting their favorite small town that they would like to make fun of in that joke. I'm not going to do it for you. Sorry. You know which town you're thinking of. So, and are there movies that you like to watch around the house, Sammy, especially in the month of October, that get you into the mood, so to speak?
Of course. I like all of the classic horror films, and as we've discussed several times in the past, my favorite horror movies are those that get into your brain, that make you feel that you're part of the action, that it could be real, it could be terrifying, and it could happen to you. The kind that as you sit there and you watch, you know that there's some evil spirit or some monster coming up behind you. You can feel his tentacles or his fingers approaching your neck. You feel the hairs on your neck go up as the goosebumps come to the surface of your skin. They make you queery. You make you very, very silent inside as those spirits stir, as you feel that you'll never sleep another silent night, as you know that the goblins and the bad guys are going to be right there. The boogeyman is underneath your bed and the monsters are in your closet, just as you always imagined. Those are the films that stir my morbid soul.
See, they make you query, but they won't make you Schultz. that's what that is. Now there's a few other movie options going around Central Indiana at this time, Sammy. We were wondering your take on these. For instance, I think this weekend The Exorcist is happening at
I think so.
Yeah, at Landmark Keystone Art Cinemas this weekend at midnight. You are not there for that, right, Cobe?
No, not a chance.
Not a chance.
Well, The Exorcist is another one of those movies, much like the Amityville Horror, where it actually could happen to you. You can't deny the spiritual realm that dwells around us. And that's where The Exorcist comes in. It's that demonic possession that Kobe is so scared of because he realizes it's so real for him.
You're not. That's not saying you're a 12-year-old girl, Kobe. You're okay. And you don't sound like
you're
Mercedes
at least
McCambridge.
14.
And you don't sound like Mercedes McCambridge. Now, I know next weekend, Halloween weekend at Landmark Keystone Arts, the original 1950s version of The Fly with Vincent Price.
Oh, The Fly, an old Vinnie Price, a good fiend of mine. In fact, for my 10th anniversary television show in 1972 on Channel 4, Vincent Price rose up out of my coffin and wished all of my fans and my viewers a very horrible Halloween and a birthday special for me.
Didn't he also come and check out the artwork? Because I know he was an art expert as well as a gourmet.
He did. In fact, Vinnie Price, although most people like to associate him with horror, he was a wonderfully classically trained artiste. And a lot of the silent film as well as the radio shows that he did in the past had nothing to do with horror. But when most people think of Vincent Price, they think of only the horror side of him. But he was an art connoisseur and a great master chef in the kitchen.
And I know there's a box set of Vincent Price films on Blu-ray, so we'll be talking about that a little later on. Now, also, down at IU Cinema, down at Kobe's alma mater, one of my favorites from 1972, Blackula, starring William Marshall, another classically trained stage actor.
That's very right. That was one of the very few horror films that he did. And to his dismay, at the end of his performing career, he looked back and realized he was best known for his least favorite role in Blackula.
That's right. But it's
that's coming up next week. But this week, they actually have some midnight movies.
Oh, yeah? What do they got going?
Tonight, 11:59, and then tomorrow, Saturday, the 25th, at 9:30, 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No, that's a good cut-up.
You've not seen that, right, Mr. Slagle?
Nope.
And you're not going to?
No.
At all?
Nope.
You don't like the slash 'em and hash 'em, do you?
No.
Or the John Larroquette narration.
Well, all of my Bloomington fans, when you get down there and you see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and it sets your mind for a horrifying week, make sure you do see me in Olytic on Thursday night.
Now, the dinner scene in that, is that like Thanksgiving at the Terry House?
The Terry Castle is full of delectable body parts and all kinds of spleens and intestines. Oh, I do so like the underside of the heart muscle. It's a little bit tough, and it gets between your teeth. It gives you that horrible feeling where your teeth are being separated, but you don't have a toothpick and you can't pick it out, but it drives you crazy as you feel your gums start to recede around your teeth as they're being spread apart. It makes for a delightful post-dinner dessert appetizing feeling.
See, Kobe, we'd still rather go to that and watch a Ryan Reynolds movie. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. So, all right. So for more information, where can people go to find for more Sammy Terry info as well as merchandise? Because, you know, it don't come cheap.
Absolutely. You can make sure you go to the SammyTerryNightmares.com website. That's SammyTerryNightmares.com website. You can purchase your hoodie, sweatshirts, your T-shirts, my two new comic books, as well as classic films on DVD hosted by me, like you and I have shared since 1962 from Channel 4. You can also get all of my latest information of where I'll be and where you and I can meet face-to-face on the Sammy Terry fan page on Facebook. Make sure you click the like button so you can always know where your horror is at.
Sammy, we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, and we hope you get some rest because there's apparently no rest for the wicked.
Oh, that's correct. And this time of year is the most favorite time of the year for getting all of your goblins out there. For remember that life is a lot more than what we have here. For in that spiritual realm, wonderful things exist, as well as your worst nightmares. And until you, Matt, and Kobe, and I meet again face to face, George and I wish you and all of the Film Sociology listeners many pleasant nightmares.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Jolene also make a Soylent Green omelet. Jolene Katzenberger, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. This is great.
And welcome to the WFYI HD2 family. The door is always open.
Thank you.
All right, go see a good movie. You deserve it. John, you're welcome. And happy anniversary, Lynn. And thanks, Sammy Terry. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We go home. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.